Have you ever had a nightmare neighbor? You know, a neighbor from hell? You know what I'm talking about. If so, we want to hear about it in our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. That's right. We got another one in the works. But we need your stories first. Go to nightmareneighbors.com and send in your nightmare neighbor story. Or call in toll-free 888-68-CRAZY. 888-68-CRAZY. And share your nightmare neighbor story with us. And we may talk about it and use it on a future episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast coming very soon. Maybe they're your current neighbors. Maybe they were a neighbor from years gone by. Now is the chance to tell your story anonymously. Go to nightmareneighbors.com to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Or call 888-68-CRAZY. And be part of the brand new Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, how did a little boy know about the death of his grandmother before he was even told? Was he visited by her spirit for one final goodbye? That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Send me an email, Tony, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And the most important part of this whole thing, though, is keeping the show on the air, being a supporter. If you can, it's only $5 a month. You get access to a new bonus episode every single week, access to more than 300 bonus episodes of our program from our huge archive of EPP episodes. You get access to our advanced episodes weeks before they're released to the public, and they're commercial free when you're an EPP. You also get our ebook, our audiobook, there's video content, there's a whole lot of extras exclusively for you guys. It's well worth the $5 a month, and it keeps this podcast afloat. Ghostpodcast.com is where you sign up for that, or patreon.com/realghoststories to support the program. Keep us on the air and get all the extras. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
How are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
It's weird. I feel like I've been in this office for much longer than I have. And I've only been in here now like a week and a day. But everything is just very comfortable.
We've lived here 2 weeks.
Has it been 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it feels like 2 weeks.
It was 2 weeks on Friday.
Right. It has. I keep telling people like 3 days, and they're like, "I think you've been here 3 days." It'll be my answer for the next year. But I don't know. I mean, this is only the second time we've recorded in this room, but I feel like I do kind of keep the similar, you know, outline of my office as well as far as how the studio is set up. Everything's kind of reversed now. I finally decided to put the mixing board at a place where I can actually reach it, which is what an amazing concept. Have the board near you, which has been incredibly helpful. But it just, I don't know. I feel like I've been in here longer. It's kind of like that deja vu-ish type thing. I don't know. I don't know why I feel that way, but I feel like I've just been in this room for a long period of time. Like we've been recording in here forever, although it's the same stuff, just in a different building.
I have felt like we've been on vacation.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I know it kind of feels that way.
During COVID?
During COVID in kind of a weird way. But I feel like just being here is like on vacation to me. And it reminds me when I was young and I lived out in the country and I would get off the school bus and I immediately felt like I was on vacation.
Yeah.
So I think it's just because we're home.
Yeah, I think we feel comfortable here. It was funny. There was somebody was talking about something the other day on, I don't know if it was our Facebook group page or Instagram, something. And there was some reference about Oh, it was in reference about the thing with Harp and the asshole mover stealing her Switch.
Yeah.
And somebody was asking, they moved? And they said, yeah, the house in the country, the one that Jenny wants to be buried at. That's how it was described.
Like, that's right.
That's the one. We're getting the barn plotted out right now, and then soon the burial plots will be, we'll figure that part out next. Would it be in the ground, or do you want like a mausoleum?
No, like it'd be with in a, the ground.
You don't want like a memorial like building structure where people can come and light candles and eat popcorn and maybe, you know, do a little texting or something.
Nobody eats popcorn at a mausoleum, but
what if I put a popcorn machine in the mausoleum? I think that could be kind of fun.
No, but you know, it's one of those things where I've thought about it enough to where it's like I want to get the iron fence up so that it can be like all rusted and creepy by the time I'm buried there.
Okay. So you're pre-planning the decor of your burial site.
I want it to look like it's an old burial plot by the time I'm there.
Okay. That makes sense. Shiplap on the stone?
Or, no.
Just,
no.
Okay.
But I would like one of the old style stones, you know?
Yeah.
The very old style.
Kind of like curved at the top.
Yeah.
And then just not like big, but just, you know, how they used to make them.
Yeah. Like, you know, circa 1870 something.
Do you want it like hand? Because I'm amazed sometimes at cemeteries how nice the, I know calligraphy is not the right word for this, but whatever you call it, where they've etched the name and
the carving.
And the carving into the stone on how old some of them are and how well it was done. Like, how did they do this? Like, this looks, you go from like, look like, you know, Elmer, you know, kind of chiseled it in there with a hammer, which you can tell, which I would make sense of the day. And then the next one over from like 2 years later of, you know, 1904, it looks like it could have been something you got last week.
Well,
in terms of how it's like, I guess the method hasn't changed that much, but the way that some of these hold up for more than 100 years, I'm amazed by.
It's, you know, it was a profession and a skill. Yeah. So somebody, that was their job. And sure. So they were really good at it.
It's just interesting because some look like they're barely readable. And some are like, oh, my God, maybe I'm missing something here. At some point, though, maybe that stone was replaced. Maybe that stone was one of those limestone ones that was rotting away. And then somebody said, let's get a new one here in like 1950.
Yeah.
And then that's what's there. And I'm assuming it was like from 1901 going, wow, that look at the quality of 1901. How did they do it?
And I don't care what the stone's made out of, even if it's concrete, as long as it looks like one of the old style stones, you know. But yeah, I totally want to get a fence and get it, you know, purposely make it rusty and like, you know, I've been there 200 years.
Yeah, you're really plotting this out.
Well, you know.
You got to plan ahead. Mm-hmm. It's better than just like somebody like, well, where do we put her? I don't know. There's a 2-for-1 sale down at Murray's crematorium and more. Your gerbil died last week. You think that'll count as the second one?
You know,
yeah, that'll work.
That is the weirdest thing. Have you ever seen cremation advertised on a billboard?
I have.
That's the weirdest thing. It's like, why?
I've been involved in a radio station where we did a live broadcast at the crematorium, encouraging people to have their bodies cremated there.
Okay, you win.
Strangest remote broadcast ever.
You win.
And it was the classic country station where the target demographic on that station at the time was like adults 75 plus. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it totally fit the demo. I mean, as far as who's going to be a possible customer for them in the remote future, just by numbers alone. But it is a weird one to talk about where it's like, hey, come on down. And I believe hot dogs and balloons were involved, almost car dealership like.
Hot dogs, balloons, and cremation.
Come on down, get your plot. It was like a 35% off sale if you order it today, and we got lunch for you. So come on down here and talk to Lenny, and he will get you hooked up.
You're joking.
I'm unfortunately not joking.
Really?
It became a standing remote. I was involved with it once because there was someone from that station that was unavailable to go. And like, we have this scheduled. Somebody has to go do it. So I went and did it.
And then it became yours?
No, I never did it again. But, like, I think the person who was supposed to do it was old and in the hospital, and then they came back and they were okay. But it was a regular remote broadcast for that station where their DJs were all in that demo, too.
Okay, which state? Don't say the station, just say the state.
It was in Kansas.
Oh, God. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it was Kansas. It was the KFDI AM when it existed. I don't know if it, did they ever go back to country, classic country on the AM? I don't remember because they switched it to like oldies and
I don't know. That's the station that my janitor would play through the school when he was cleaning the, you know, the story that I wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was about him.
There you go. It's, you know, it's there's something creepy about hearing classic country music being played in an empty school building.
And half the lights are on.
Yeah. There, I mean, the school building in that set, in that setting itself is creepy, but add, you know, a little, you know, weird off, you know, the...
Oh, it was Hank Williams.
Hank Williams, some Mo Bandy or something. You're like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting to be murdered by the chalkboard. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, let's go to our first story. It says, my story is a little different from the creepy and scary stories you may get. I come from a small city in New Zealand. Back in the day, and by back in the day, I'd say roughly 8 years ago, I did a lot of hospitality work, working in bars and restaurants. It was a quiet night. Service was cut short to prepare for the night ahead. This restaurant changed into a nightclub after hours. As we were wrapping up the dinner service, I collected the last couple of meals to be taken out to customers. The kitchen was through a solid swinging door down a long, dimly lit hallway. After grabbing the meals, I headed down the hall towards the restaurant. Needing to open the door with no hands, I quickly spun around to feel something behind me push. As I did, at the end of the hallway, I saw a tall, dark shadow standing just in front of the door at the end of the hall, bringing in a rush to get the meals to the customers. I kept going, and it was not until I was on the other side I realized what I had seen. I turned to look back through the glass window, but it was gone. Later that night, I learned that a friend and his family had died in a boat accident. I thought nothing of it at the time, but this shadow stuck in my head. It was not threatening and did not scare me at all. A few months down the track, I went to a clairvoyant just for, as we Kiwis say, shits and gigs, which means we do it because we can do it for a laugh. During my session, she stops and looks at me and says, oh, that night at work when you saw a shadow of a man at the end of the hall. I'd not told anyone about this. She went on to say that that was your friend. Insert random name here. I'd like to keep his family's privacy. This accident was very well known back home, saying goodbye. I was baffled as how she ever knew that. How did she know? I was friends with him. When I went back and looked at the time of the accident and the time I saw the shadow man, they both matched up. The guy was a friend, a bouncer, a security guard who was very protective of me. Working in the bars, I could always count on him, keeping an eye out, making sure no one was being a pain, walking us girls out to our cars at night, etc. He was sorely missed in the hospitality industry.
That is really interesting that they got that confirmation from, you know,
A psychic,
yeah, to know that that's what that was. I mean, because, like I say, there's no such thing as coincidence. So the fact that it happened the night that they died, you would have that suspicion, but then that confirmation just brings kind of a little bit of closure.
Well, and being that dead on with the explanation of that friend who died in that accident that night, and you saw him at the restaurant, the shadow on the other side of the building. That's pretty specific.
Mm-hmm.
That's not like Chet Jameson's psychic bowling where I would do. There's someone with an R in their name that passed away several years ago. Oh, that's Ruth. Yes, that's Ruth. You know, that's, you know,
yeah,
where you can play into it, where you can tell where it's bullshit. But that one where it's that specific, no, that's somebody with a gift that they know things.
Sure.
There's messages coming to and from them. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to, you think I should ask you this. I should ask the audience this, actually. We have a really cool chandelier that we're working on trying to sell locally. I can't ship it because this thing is heavy as hell.
It's over 50 pounds.
Yeah, and shipping would cost more than what it's probably worth. But it's a really neat chandelier, and I'm not going on the air here to try and sell it to you. I'm just asking an opinion. This is a chandelier we got in our last house. You rusted it to make it look creepy and cool.
It's an antique brass chandelier, not like antique from 1992. This is like from probably the 50s. It was very ornate, and I like rusted things, so I rusted the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's completely covered in rust.
And it was hard to hang because of its weight, but we got it hung in our last house, so then when we left, we're like, we have to take that with us, so we brought it with us. But we don't have a place for it in this house. So I'm trying to find a new home for it through Facebook Marketplace, and I'm selling items left and right that we're getting rid of. This item I'm having a hard time with. I don't know. I mean, I've had it at like $45. Now it's down to $35, and now I have people left and right like, can you meet me at some place that's like 70 miles away? I'm like, no, it's pickup only. I'm sorry. Should I go back and mark it as haunted? Do you think it will sell faster if I say it's haunted and at a higher price tag? Because I feel like $35 is a pretty damn good price for this really unique, interesting chandelier. But will it help better if it's haunted?
Will it harm our ability to sell anything to anyone ever again? Yeah,
probably.
That's my thing. If you make a fake account and listed as haunted.
I don't know why it's like, I'm almost starting to wonder like if the chandelier shouldn't be leaving us. Like if I'm having so much difficulty selling this, because I thought it was going to go like that. There's so many items I've sold like within 5 minutes of posting it. This one, it's been up for like weeks and I keep getting people like, I'm really interested. And then the last minute, oh, I can't make it, sell it to somebody else. Okay. And I lower the price. I'm really interested. And then last minute, I can't make it. I haven't had that with any other item. And I'm just wondering, like, should I not be selling? Is this like the universe telling me, hold on to it for whatever reason? I don't want to because it's sits and it's heavy and it's, you know, you can trip over it. But if I put it in a box somewhere, I guess it'll be fine. But I don't know. I haven't had any difficulty to this level with any other object.
I think it could just strictly be the fact that somebody doesn't know how to wire it in.
It's just a regular light. It's a chandelier. I mean, people bought other lighting.
Well, yeah,
I sold like three lights already.
But the thing is, those lights were not this heavy. Remember?
Yeah.
We had to like makeshift a stand to hold it so that you could wire it in. And maybe that's what people are concerned about.
The weight?
Yeah.
I don't say the weight on it, though.
I don't know. I will say sometimes it creeps me out. And I didn't always feel that way, but now it sometimes creeps me out. And that's why I'm like, sure, $25, get it gone.
The chandelier creeps you out?
A little bit.
Why does it creep you out?
I don't know. I thought it was going to be the perfect chandelier, and I think we should have probably left it at the last house.
Really?
Yeah. It was like meant for that house. And now it's like it's angry in the garage.
It's like, you're not going to get rid of me. So, okay, well, I'll keep trying. Watch that. We'll get rid of it, and it'll like just show up on our doorstep.
I have thought about going to some, because the town we live in has a plethora of little antique stores.
Yeah.
I've thought about just saying, I have no place for this. I can't sell it. Somebody throw it in a booth with a tag on it.
Yeah, well, you'll probably get like a $10 commission off of it or something.
I don't care.
Just take it. Yeah. I mean, I'll keep lowering the price. I just find it interesting. And I wanted to bring this up because it's almost one of those things where it's like the chandelier that you can't get rid of. It's a really cool piece.
I'm just afraid if you mark it as haunted, that people will then worry when they see other things that you've sold.
Yeah. They won't want to buy like a wheelbarrow or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think you're right. I just thought I'd throw that out there. I mean, I get no vibes off of it. I've had nothing happen because of it. I've seen nobody
because of it.
I'm having a very difficult time selling what I think is a unique, very interesting piece that fits in a lot of what's in style right now.
Well, I will say this. I thought the windmill tail was going to go like that.
That didn't sell either.
That did not sell either, but that windmill tail was meant to not sell so that it could hang in this dining room, which is where it's at. Maybe it's just not meant to go yet because of something coming.
Okay. Well,
you know, I've always joked about having my own antique booth. Maybe it's supposed to be part of that.
Maybe.
Because the name of it would be the Rusted Chandelier.
Maybe it's there just, maybe ghosts appear at night in the garage with the dogs and the cat, and they just, it haunts the shit out of them. And it's like, I love these pets. I'm not leaving.
Well, this one's too heavy to hang in the barn. The other one we're going to hang in the barn.
No. All right. Well, there you go. The Haunted Chandelier. 855-853-4802 is our number. Next story says, when I was 10 years old, my little brother was about 10 months old. I'd sometimes hear him crying in the morning, so I'd wake up to get him. I remember one morning I walked upstairs to get him, and I was watching him through the crack of his bedroom door, and he was standing up in his crib, smiling and reaching for someone who wasn't there. I remember thinking this is odd, but did not mention it until a couple of years later to our mom. Flash forward about a year, when my little brother was able to start talking, his grandmother had gotten us these pillows for Christmas. They were long, rectangular pillows. Mine had a butterfly on it and about 3 to 4 lines of pink, blue, yellow, and green. My little brother's were a giraffe head with lines of light brown, dark brown, and giraffe print. He never messed with the pillow or cared much for it. A couple of months after Christmas, she passed. When my mom was putting him to bed, he said, "Mommy, will you get me the pillow Mama D got me for Christmas?" And Mom said yes, and grabbed it out of the closet and handed it to him. He started cuddling the pillow and said, "I'm really going to miss Mama D." He was only about a year old, almost two. No one had told him of the passing yet. Another story, when he was about 3 to 4, my mom was giving him a bath one night. He randomly looked up towards the other end of the tub and said, "It's Caleb. I already told you before." My mom said, "Honey, who are you yelling at?" And he pointed and said, "Him. He keeps asking my name, and I already told him before." For a couple of years, he never really did anything else that we assumed was paranormal. Until one morning, he's probably about 5 or 6 at this point, my mother, little brother, and I were all going to the grocery store. When we walked out the door, my little brother said, "Mommy, can Joey come with us?" My mom asked, "Who's Joey?" Thinking maybe it was a toy of some sort, my little brother replied, "Joey, him," pointing beside him. "He's standing right there. Can't you see him?" My mom was obviously freaked out and said, "No, I think Joey should stay home today." He continued to bring up the name Joey often, and we would ask him occasionally, "What does Joey look like?" And all he would say is, "A boy." One night he was sitting on the couch watching a movie and plopped down beside him. He started frantically jumping up and down and yelling, get up, hurry, get up. I jumped up thinking maybe I had sat on a sugar glider we had got frequently. When I shot up, I realized nothing was there. My little brother looked at me with a straight face and said, "You sat on Joey." A couple of months or so went by and he did not really talk about Joey or anything more. We were staying at our grandma's house, my mom's mother, one night. My little brother was sitting at the kitchen table and looked over into the living room and said, "Mama, you know Joey I used to talk about?" My grandma said, "Yeah. What about him?" My little brother responded, "I don't see him anymore because he went to be with Jesus." So a couple more years passed. He never mentioned Joey again, but our great-grandpa had lung cancer and passed when he was around 8. I remember my mom telling me, "Don't say anything about it when I pick you up. I'm going to think of the best way to explain it to Caleb tonight." When we got home and she was giving him a bath, he said, "Caleb, do you remember how Grandpa Danny was really sick?" And he said, "Yeah, I know. He died today. That's sad. I'm really going to miss him." So my mom asked him, "How did you know he died? Who told you?" And he said, "A boy and a girl came to me today at school." My mom asked, "Do you know their names?" He said, "No. They just came to me on the playground and told me Grandpa Danny died." The weirdest part about that is when my grandfather was young, he had a little brother and a little sister. They were all playing in the barn one day, and my Grandpa Danny somehow started a fire, which he escaped, but his little brother and sister did not, killing them. The day my grandpa died, right before he died, he kept reaching towards the end of the bed, almost like he was catching something that was falling, saying, "Get the kids, grab them, they're going to fall off the bed." That was the same day my little brother said a boy and a girl came to him at school to tell him. My little brother is now 14 and does not even mention anything out of the norm or paranormal anymore. If he still sees spirits, he does not talk about it. So we all assume that it was something that just stopped, or maybe he just closed himself off to it. I apologize for this being long, but I've never really talked about this with anyone other than family. And when I started listening to you guys, I just knew I was going to have to get the story out somehow. Thank you for this platform.
I think that was an incredibly sensitive little boy. And I feel like his imaginary friend was more than an imaginary friend, because it left him not by his choosing, not like, "I'm not going to play with you anymore." It was the imaginary friend ghost that decided to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense for the little boy and the little girl to be the ones to come and tell him that the grandpa had passed, you know.
Yeah.
So it didn't freak him out at school when he sees his grandpa there.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. It's interesting that that's who came to kind of give the warning. It makes you wonder, like, how often are we surrounded by all these sort of things? Everyone is, but only certain people are able to pick it up at certain times and places. Or does it have to do with the family as well? Like, some families are more close-knit than others and would be there like, I'm going to let you know he died. And others would be like, I don't care. You know, does it depend on the relationship as well? Or is it just like your duty once you're dead, here's what you get to do, and maybe they'll pick you up, maybe they won't?
I don't know. I think it's as different as every family.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny and Carol. My name is Jay Bear. You might recognize it from the Facebook group. I tend to comment in there a bit, but if not, no worries. So I've been listening to your show about 5 years, but I'm not an EPP yet. I plan on it soon. I've had experiences all my life and feel quite blessed with my gift. I don't know whether you want to call it a gift from the universe, or I feel like being able to be aware or close to spirits is a gift all in itself. But anyways, my first time calling in, and I wanted to share an experience that I had last week driving home from work. And I wrote it all down, so I'm just going to read it like a story. So here we go. I work up in the woods, and I have about a 20-minute drive down the mountain on an old logging road before I get down to where the homes and farms begin. When I drive down the last long hill before civilization, the valley opens up, and at the bottom of the hill, cross street, is 212th Avenue. The other day, I was at the point where the valley opens up, and I spotted an old car driving past, a gorgeous, dark green 1930s four-door sedan with an ornate rumble seat on the back. It stopped at the stop sign and then toddled on along down 212, about 30 miles an hour or so. I smiled to myself because it looked so natural against the backdrop of oaks and pines and rolling green farms. I watched it continue down the road, and a picture of a dark-haired man in a tuxedo and a blonde woman in a fancy dress came into my mind. I knew they were going to a party, and I could hear them chatting and laughing together in my imagination. I felt happy, like I was watching friends drive away from my doorstep, warm and loving. While it is not unusual for me to get images in this manner, I don't usually get them long distance, as in I usually have to be in proximity to the spirit. So because of this, I figured it was just my imagination, you know, imagining a cool scene to go along with the car. By this time, I had reached the stop sign, so I stopped, of course, and gave a quick glance to my right for oncoming traffic. As I turned my head back to the left, I had a familiar tingle I often get around spirits, which at the time I also discounted. But as I continued to watch, I realized that I had turned my head back to the left just in time to see the old sedan start up a slight rise and then fade away before my eyes. That was an overcast day, so this was not the sun obscuring my vision and the car driving out of sight. As it went up the little rise, it just disappeared before it crested the hill. It's been a while since I've seen something so obvious, and I was so glad that I was in the right place at the right time. Okay, that's the end of it. Thank you for the show. It's amazing. You guys are amazing. I will call in with more soon because I have some whoppers. I have some of my experiences that I've sort of fictionalized into creepy short stories, all of the content is true. I just tell it in the story form. I might read some of those for the pleasure of your audience. So for now, be well, my friends. Until next time.
That was good.
That was good. It makes you wonder what the significance was to her as far as why that one was such a strong vision that she saw it in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm sure, like she said, a lot of them are just, they come in her mind, you mm-hmm. know, but this one she actually saw physically, this car. And I'm just, it kind of makes you wonder what the connection is there.
It's an interesting one where it's almost like kind of like you call it downloads sometimes, where it's like suddenly it's not that you verbally heard a ghost give you a message or a voice give you a message, or that you saw something physically or you heard something. It's just like, boom, information is there. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like kind of what she had. It's a vision, if you will. But sometimes that vision can include audio. Sometimes that vision can include other feelings as well. But that seems to be the way I think a lot of people feel ghosts or feel spirits. But I think that's oftentimes probably misinterpreted.
Yeah.
As I don't know why I'm suddenly feeling this way. Where maybe there's something more involved than you just suddenly feeling this way, mm-hmm. you know, or you know, where out of nowhere something will kind of come to mind that really is out of context. I wonder how often those sort of things happen that does have something to do with the paranormal and isn't just kind of a weird, odd moment for someone, because it doesn't scream paranormal unless you're thinking down that road.
Right.
You know, it's not like, oh, there's a ghost. It's just, that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But not ghostly, but was it? Thank you for sharing that. We'd love to hear more of your stories. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. Like I said, if you want to keep us on the air and get all the bonus content, new stuff every single week, access to more than 300 bonus episodes, it is all there for you. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories, whatever platform you choose. It's all there for you. Get our ebook, our audiobook, all included there. That's a $30 value. It's only $5 to sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. Wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there.